Lightning 100, local natives latest there. When am I going to lose you? We're going to see local natives back in Music City playing out at Marathon Music Works coming up this September. We are about 6 minutes into the 11 o'clock hour. Jason broadcasting live backstage at this year's Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival. And as promised, now joined by Chris and Stephanie. You probably better know them as Ida May. Thanks so much for being the first interview of the morning.
Well, thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Yes, indeed.
It is
Ida May getting ready to take the stage, the Who stage, correct?
Mm-hmm.
About 1:15 this afternoon. And thankfully, it worked out, not to be selfish or, you know, make it all about me, but my shift ends at 1, and 15 minutes is the perfect amount of time to walk over to the stage. So I'm looking very forward to catching the set.
The universe is listening.
And that's the way it sets up. That's always the vibes here at Bonnaroo. So, the album, Chasing Lights, just dropped on Friday. Congratulations on getting the album out. I was very intrigued to read about not only kind of the history of the two of you working together in your musical history. Of course, for those of you that don't know, you're also husband and wife.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting dynamic. I would imagine working within the confines of a musical kind of of setup. And just the way that the album kind of came about and your writing process and getting a call from Ethan Johns and working at Peter Gabriel's studio, it's like blowing my mind as I'm reading it. So if you would kind of give our listeners a little bit of a backstory of how the Ida May project in particular came together, because Chris, I know you had worked, you had actually released a few other projects.
Yeah, well, we were both in a rock and roll band, in the UK before we started this, and kind of underground. And then that ended up coming to an end, and we moved to central London. We were living in Holloway in a tiny attic bedroom. And we decided that with this new project, we just wanted to make it incredibly honest and simple, and write from scratch, keep it raw, and make absolutely no compromises on anything. Having worked with major labels in the past and been pushed around and the usual industry stories.
Sure.
So we were writing in London, and then we got invited out to come to Nashville to start writing. We just fell in love with the place. And we did the blues trail, being in love with early country blues. We went up and down Highway 61 to New Orleans and Memphis, and we just ended up writing, coming back a couple of times before we moved to Nashville. So we sort of wrote the record half in the South and half in London.
Central London,
Got invited out to meet Ethan Johns after working with a few different producers, and then tracked the whole thing live in about 3 weeks with Ethan. And then we moved straight out to Nashville about 10 months ago.
That's pretty amazing. Just getting the chance to work with, because I know you both have a history, or the history of music, and, you know, the name Ethan Johns, I mean, that pops out as he's worked with. It's easier to name the folks he hasn't worked with, you know, because he's worked with so many great artists. What was it like to just seeing the process of how he makes a record? Did it vary differently from, you know, people that you had worked with before?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest things for us. His ethos and his mantra is something that is going to stay with us forever now. Yeah. I mean, we tracked the whole record live, straight to tape, and
awesome.
And Ethan played drums like he did on those Ray LaMontagne and Ryan Adams records that we love, and just to hear him playing drums next to us,
that's pretty cool. And he's very much he trusts the musician, so he's like, if you feel like that's what you want to play on this part, you play it. We're not working out parts; you play what you're feeling at that moment, and he trusts you, which is, you know, we were like, oh, it took us so many years to finally meet someone that was like, just do what you want, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we're used to doing 7 vocal takes or whatever in the studio, and we've done that before in other bands, and this was like, okay, we're gonna run it through maybe half the song, and then we're gonna start doing takes.
Right. I think I read part of I think it was an article that you did, Chris, talking a little bit more about gear, which I could talk for an hour about gear. I know you don't have time to do that, but just that Ethan kind of gave that thing that when you get those kind of musicians together, it's just like, all right, play it, and then that's it, move on. Because when you have great players, that's the way it's supposed to be played. When it just those notes just kind of fall out of the guitar, so to speak.
I think it's not alien to people in Nashville, but I think it is to the rest of the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think we thought very carefully about the sort of sonic landscape, how we wanted to paint the picture.
Sure.
So by the time we got to actually tracking it, when it felt right, it was right. We just moved on.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Talking with Chris and Stephanie from Ida Mae. You can follow them on Twitter at Ida Mae Music. Also over on Instagram, Chris, you've got like the Gearheads Gear Instagram page. it's Instagram.com/Surfburst, and I understand that you actually, that was the way that you and Dweezil Zappa connected. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a guitar geek.
I can tell.
I'm obsessed with early like Booker White and Sunhouse and Robert Johnson and a lot of early slide players. And so our Instagram sort of started to blow up partly through that in the early days, and Dweezil Zappa reached out and invited us to come and play with him at the Royal Festival Hall in London on Cosmic Debris, Frank Zappa tune. And,
like these Zappa blues tune.
Yeah. So we ended up inviting him on the record, and he was on the first track.
That's so cool. And yeah, definitely check out the page. Just from a little bit that I saw, I found it interesting that this album was recorded using amps no bigger than 5 watts.
Yeah.
And some, like, you've got some old vintage guitars, like one that they used to sell at Woolworths, but it's perfect for playing slide, you know?
It's so cool. This is good, yeah. No, I believe in everything we've done, we've always tried to go back to the source, whether it be the blues or early country, Carter Family, Hank Williams, and same with the instruments. I want to get back to those sounds that those guys had in the studio.
Sure.
And why they've become sort of, I don't know, the staples of recording and playing now.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, talking with Chris and Stephanie from Ida Mae. I know you guys only have a few minutes, so I wanted to ask you too about, so you had the Kill It Kid project, and you mentioned that you had to kind of conform to whether it was the producer or the label or, hey, we're looking for this, we're looking for that, and you're having to tweak stuff. That part and parcel with working, you mentioned working with Ethan Johns. You did it at Peter Gabriel's studio, which is like, that's a legendary place. So kind of putting those two together, having that creative freedom that you hadn't had before to make the album that you wanted to make, what was it like having that feeling while walking into that studio? Because I know in Nashville, a lot of artists will talk about there are certain rooms you walk into, like the Johnny Cash's cabin. You walk in, you can just feel the history in that room. Did that add any pressure to it, or was it more of a liberating experience knowing we're going to walk in and do our own thing and we're making our own rules?
I think it was more liberating. Well, the first day we were quite nervous because we'd only met Ethan once before and we didn't know what we were going into. But as soon as we did that first day of pre-production at Real World, I think we were very comfortable. And also, it's a very comfortable studio. You stay there, you sort of embrace the whole world of it, essentially. It's like the actual Real World outside doesn't exist.
Right,
Real World
it just envelops Real you World. While yeah, you're there, right?
It kind of feels like a family affair there.
That's very cool.
And we'd been in and out before. We'd rehearsed in that studio because we lived around there before, but never actually recorded in the wood room that we were in, which was pretty cool. We used to rehearse in a bunker out the back.
Okay.
And then this time we were walking in and actually recording in the studio.
Yeah, so there were a few moments. Feelings. Like, we're big Kings of Leon fans, and Ethan, the first day, he changed the snare drum on one of his snares.
Oh, yeah.
His Black Beauty snare drums. And he said, I haven't changed this snare drum in 12 years.
So all the records
he'd done. It was all over those Kings records. It was all over the Ray LaMonte.
Was on that.
Wow.
And he gave it to us. I was like, can we have that?
He put it in the bin, and we were like, no, Ethan, I'm really sorry. We're going to have to fanboy here.
That.
You're going to have to take that out and sign it. I'm taking that home.
Add a little bit more to that collector's item, you know, that value to it. It's like, no, you've got to sign
it,
too.
You write on that, please.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. Oh, my gosh.
That's such important records in our lives.
That is so cool. Chris and Stephanie here from Ida Mae. So they're going to be taking the stage at 1:15. Maybe if you're listening, heading down here to the farm, don't want to miss it. They're going to be taking the Who stage at 1:15. Real quick, too, so you mentioned recently relocated, relatively recently, from London to Nashville. How long have you been in Music City now?
10 months.
Ten months. Okay.
Yeah, so, but we've been on the road for maybe 5 of those.
Most of them, yeah, right? So, and I think I was looking at your dates. This, the last one in the States for at least a little while. You guys heading back over across the pond here in a few days?
We've been out with Blackberry Smoke and Greta Van Fleet for the last month. And we're literally leaving tomorrow. And we've got our own shows and we're going out with Josh Ritter across Europe. So.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. So, so you're playing early. Are you looking forward? Are you going to try to catch any acts while you're here on site today?
I'm going to try and catch
Rival Sons. Yeah, I think Rival Sons are on at 2:30. So we'll try and catch them.
Good timing. It's like right after you guys.
Exactly.
Right?
So we'll do that.
Good
one,
stuff.
Definitely.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to have you in.
Music City, congratulations on the new record. In fact, we've got Reaching queued up here to play. Do you want to give our listeners a little inside baseball, maybe a little backstory about this song and how it came about?
Well, this is one of the first songs we wrote coming back from our road trips in Mississippi and across the Deep South. And we went very deep in Mississippi. So this is a road trip song. Yeah. It's meant for driving too.
Good deal. Well, let's get it on right now. It's and thank you again so much for joining us. And welcome to Bonnaroo. Have a great set. And once you come back to town, get back to Nashville, we'll have you in studio. We'll talk a little bit more about the record.
Fantastic.
But it's great to meet you. Thanks so much for making time. Here it is right now. It's Ida Mae. It's Reaching on Lightning 100.